Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yep. Mercedes Moné. She makes her New Japan Pro Wrestling debut overnight, laying out Kairi. Well, you know, in WWE is Kairi Sane, setting up a future IWGP Women's Championship match. And while this is going on, you have the media and the journalists, mostly the journalists who aspire to become true journalists, they're all doubling and tripling down, trying to race to see who is going to be in the record books, who is going to be looked back in history, who called this right, who called that right. And people insisting that Mercedes is going to be Tony Storm's partner in the January 11th, 2023 edition of AEW Dynamite in Los Angeles. You know, it was funny. I got a lot of DMs the last 24 hours, a lot of emails about Mercedes' debut, which we will break down in a little bit. We have some video of what happened at Wrestle Kingdom 17 with Mercedes. I will also answer a couple of the very popular comments floating around. Oh, why wasn't the crowd so into it? And why were they quiet? And Mercedes botching and blah, 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 blah. What a horrible way to debut. Yeah, we'll clear all that up. Problem is, a lot of people out there, they're not interested in the truth. They want just clickbait gossip, things that they could shit on, things that they could criticize. And listen, when you're a journalist, you have sources and you don't have sources. And you could tell the difference between a true journalist and someone who does something like this. Okay, on Dynamite tonight, Saraya announced that Toni Storm will be her partner next week. Gee, I wonder what show talked about that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, last week. But this is how you could spot someone who is aspiring to be a journalist, but they're not a journalist. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. What people like this are doing is they're trying to prevent all of you from making fun of them, criticizing them, calling them liars, telling them they're wrong. And within 30 seconds of Saraya making that announcement, they go on social media and like, yeah, we know the truth. They're trying to cover it up. Yeah. You know, they have their eye winking. Journalists don't do that. If they get it wrong, they get it wrong. Some of the smarter ones will say, oh, talks fell apart, or they couldn't come to an agreement. I will explain to everybody tonight again, why Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, whoever you want to call her, Mercedes Vernado, I will explain again why she was never going to be announced as Saraya's mystery partner. We will also discuss why FTR wasn't in the building tonight, a few other things. I hope we clear up a few things tonight. I do want to address everybody about one thing, and I say this with love. I don't mean this with angst, but each and every one of you for the last 2 weeks, especially the last 24 hours, who either DM'd me, emailed me, or posted privately and said, hey, DT, is this true? Now, this person actually didn't say may, possibly, you know, reportedly. This person actually wrote that Mercedes will be Saraya's partner next week in Dynamite. Will. And then this person adds, goes a little further, says, oh, I couldn't make an announcement hint sooner because she was still under contract with WWE until the beginning of 2023. So you jerk people off. What does that call it? So they're edging. So they're edging the last month about this, but they couldn't go straight out and say why. Did he think Triple H was going to say, what are you doing? She's under contract. No, that's Vince. What are you doing? She's still under contract. What actually was going to happen? I didn't say anything because she was still. So, but all of you out there that showed me that tweet, I ask you this. I don't know this gentleman. He could end up being right when we talk about it in a moment. But I say to all of you that brought me Steve Mulhausen's tweet asking me, DT, is this true? I ask all of you this. Did you go to Steve 2 weeks ago when I said Will Soraya's mystery partner end up being Tony Storm? Do you remember when we talked about the possibility that Tony Storm and Hikaru Shida may be feuding next? Did any of you out there go to all those other people say, hey, you know, so-and-so is saying that, you know, it looks like it's going to be Tony Storm. Did any of you do that? If you don't do that, don't come to me and ask me, hey, you know, is this person telling the truth? Is this, what am I fucking, the verifier? Is that my new gimmick? Forget Deli, man. I'm now the verifier. Coming down to the ring, weighing 219 pounds. The verifier. All right, check this out. Don't make fun of the guy's last name. That's his real last name. You know, it's nothing wrong with his last name. All right, let's get right into the show. I want to throw something out there right at the beginning. Yes, it is a cheap plug, but I think I've earned the right to make this cheap plug. It is official. And I can honestly word it this way. The next podcast, Forbidden Door, is set. It will be recorded. It looks like it'll be next Tuesday. And who will be my guest? Podcast Forbidden Door 1 was Jason Solomonster. 2 was Joe Cronin. 3 was JD. Triple J. Well, this time around, it's double M. And that is not a breast cup size. Misha Montana will be joining me. We will be recording Podcast Forbidden Door next week. Some of you know her as the current girlfriend of Matt Riddle. And I will tell you all this. We've talked. And we've talked quite a bit. And I'm not going to jump the gun and say anything that she is going to throw out there next week. Will we be talking about the Matt Riddle situation? Absolutely, yes. Will we be talking about a lot of the bullshit that's floating around? Absolutely, yes. Will we be talking about the dumpster fires? Some whack jobs out there. And you know what? I don't even want to call them whack jobs because, you know, I've been in my lifetime in a relationship where, you know, I had a breakup and I kind of took it very, very hard. So people handle breakups much differently. But in the cases of some of these people, it kind of falls into dumpster fire territory, especially when you're doxing people's information, when you're accusing people of taking drugs, when you're accusing people of doing a lot of things. And I will say this. I don't think I'll get myself in trouble. We did have a fun laugh about ringside news. That's all I'm going to say. No, I don't want anybody there to get angry. You know, it was just that. You remember when I said last week that ringside news in some places got the original drug names from a tweet from months ago by an ex-girlfriend of Matt Riddle. It ends up one of the ex-girlfriends that made the accusation about drugs got it from a ringside news tweet. So this goes back to, it's kind of mind-boggling. Didn't we say this like 4 or 5 years ago when we were still doing audio only, that you catch people that are reporting news based on tweets? I'm sorry, somebody tweets something, you know, does not make it true. If someone wants to announce something to the world, hey, I'm going to be a mom. Hey, I'm going to get married. Hey, I got cancer. Hey, I got this. Hey, that's different. That's news. But when someone throws an accusation about someone just because it's on Twitter doesn't make it true. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But it is going to be pre-recorded. Yeah, we don't want the dumpster fires, you know, loading up the chat. We don't want the haters. I've already got a couple of not death threats, but hey, you know, you're going to get your legs broken if you don't shut the fuck up. Watch what you say. Be very careful. You know, I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Hey, you know, we'll have a fun show. It'll be fun. And it's not going to be clickbait. We could have, if you follow the first three Forbidden Doors, the idea is the same. It's not an interview. It's a casual conversation. And it's pretty cool, you know, the fact that she actually did some work in XPW. And we were having a little chat earlier today. I was telling her about some of the stuff that I did back 20 years ago with the XPW. And it was kind of funny, like, especially when we talked about Veronica Kane. Nothing but nice things were said. But, you know, 20 years ago, I'm sharing a hotel room with her, you know, hanging out, and she's in sweatpants, laughing it up. And I'm like, wow, she's like a really, really down-to-earth, cool chick. And then 20 years later, she's bashing debris over Misha Montana's head in XPW. It's kind of fun, you know, to talk about this. So, Kevin Milwaukee says, bigger, better, better. I don't think any of the Forbidden Doors were better than each other. Each one had its own, you know, mantra about it. So, by the way, speaking of mantra, MJF tonight. Anybody notice that MJF, and this is a compliment. This is a compliment. And I think tonight it showed it more than ever before. We all know that Roddy Piper is one of MJF's idols growing up. He loves Roddy Piper, emulates Roddy Piper, tributes Roddy Piper. You know, a lot of his style is reflected of Roddy Piper. But Ric Flair is really starting to come out in MJF as well. If you just watch his back and forth tonight with Bryan Danielson, and you just pay really close attention of his cadence. And look, this might not be the greatest example I could give you, but it's one of the most well-known examples. If you go back and watch the night that Ric Flair came back in WCW, and then, you know, Eric Bischoff was trying to cut his mic, and he's like, fire me! I'm already fired! You know, like, if you watch MJF tonight, and the pauses and the cadence, and you watch that, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And that is a compliment. That is a compliment. Hey, look, MJF tonight, you know, paying a little shout out to some people in wrestling, top people in wrestling who, you know, show respect to him. Disco Inferno, Eric Bischoff, Jim Cornette, you know, all the three examples that, you know, Tony Khan likely would not invite into the AEW locker room. So I'm telling you, man, go back and watch Flair, watch MJF tonight, and you'll be like, holy shit. Yeah, he goes in and out from Roddy Piper to Ric Flair. And that's pretty good. You know, let me tell you something. You know, I was talking to somebody who works with AEW over the weekend. Mostly Happy New Year, how's your holiday, and this and that. And next week's Dynamite, they're going to break a million next week. They're definitely going to break a million next week. If they don't, unless there's a major tragedy, unfortunately, that happens on TV, something seriously is wrong. But they want, it's almost like 1.1 million or bust. They really want to not only crack a million, but they want a substantial rating next week. And, you know, remember, Tony Khan, yeah, ratings and great ratings are always fun to brag about, but it's not the be-all, end-all with him. As long as the network is happy, he will push some of, you know, wrestlers that may not, you know, that fans may not stick around to watch for a main event. Look at Rampage this past Friday, 2 weeks in a row. They had a nice little momentum getting into the mid-upper fives, almost, you know, teasing 600,000 viewers again. And understand, you don't want a fan to just tune in on a random Friday night because Moxley's in action. You know, you want fans to look forward to every week doing something. That's why, if you notice, when I do Patreon Live, when we do a watch party, when we're here live streaming, you see a lot of the same names every single show or every single week, because people look forward and repetition is good. And, you know, you want to build on fans that haven't been tuning in live on a Friday. You want to keep them tuning in. You want to play. And he goes and puts Swerve Strickland versus Wheeler Yuta in the main event. So what ends up happening? Rampage Friday, the rating gradually went down throughout the whole night. And that main event match was the lowest quarter of the entire night. I know there's only four quarters in Rampage, but you know the idea is he will put people in the main event on a TV show, and this will segue into a super shout-out. I want to give a 2023 shout-out to Ronnie C. I saw this right before we went live. Props for calling the Darby win on last night's show. It was Daniel Garcia all over again, minus the crappy rapper. For those that don't know what he's talking about, yesterday on Patreon, we were previewing Dynamite tonight, and I said, pay very close attention to the match placement of Samoa Joe versus Darby Allin. If that main event's Dynamite, if that closes out Dynamite, because they're in the hometown of Darby Allin, Seattle, Washington, they're going to do what they did with Daniel Garcia in, what was it, Buffalo? I don't remember if it was Buffalo. I know it was upstate New York. You remember Daniel Garcia had that title match and they had that rapper actually do like a rap? Like they made it a big deal. They had streamers ready. They did it because it was the hometown, that extra pop. That's something that Tony Khan is a fan of. And that is 180 of what Vince McMahon used to do. You know, Vince McMahon, and a lot of wrestlers have talked about this over the years. Vince McMahon always liked to fuck with hometown heroes. Not all the time. You know, you want your fan base to want to show up and root for the hometown hero and celebrate them winning. So it's not every time. But I remember clear as day, Tommy Dreamer, they were coming to New York, and this is back in the early 2000s, maybe 01, 02, around that time. And, you know, Dreamer, it was still very, very, still beloved in New York. But at that time, you know, we were looking forward to seeing the New Yorkers, and they advertised him on the card, and he lost. And then you had others that were, and then he lost. And then you've had some more, obviously, you know, bigger events. And a lot of times, Vince always booked the hometown hero to lose. Look at Jim Ross. Didn't Jim Ross get bloodied and get embarrassed beyond belief in Oklahoma? I mean, Vince has that history. Tony Khan, if the stars align and he's got a wrestler that he wants to push and they're coming up in a hometown event, they will put them in the main event and showcase them. And I said, if they main event, close out Dynamite tonight, Darby Allin is winning that TNT title. I will just say I'm a little surprised that Wardlow did not get involved. You would have thought that Wardlow would have done something substantial. I mean, unless maybe Wardlow is happy. He's like, hey, you know what? Samoa Joe cut my ponytail. Yeah, you kind of did me a favor. You know, I didn't want to cut it off myself because people would be like, why did you cut that off? I loved it. So now Samoa Joe does it, and I'm just joking here. All right, listen, before we recap Dynamite quickly and we get into a few other things, and we have to talk about Great Muta. We have to talk about that because it's kind of glaring how little is being talked about with that. We'll get into that a little bit later, but we obviously have to talk about the big news at hand. And overnight, Wrestle Kingdom 17, Mercedes Monet Banks, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Vernado, whatever you want to call her, she showed up on New Japan Pro Wrestling. She confronted Kairi after she retained her IWGP Women's Championship, defeating Tam Nakano, and you know, she laid her out with her finisher. Now, people jumped all over that shit because of the botch that happened. Who was at fault with the botch? Listen, I'm not a seasoned pro wrestler. I just give my opinions. I have the video. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you at full speed, slow speed. And I'm going to show you Mercedes Vernado training in Mexico with this finisher. And this is her new finisher. She wants her repertoire in Japan to feel and look a lot different than what she did in WWE. So I'm going to show you both so you'll see how it was supposed to go down and how it went down. I will tell you right up front, I do not blame Mercedes Vernado much at all for the move that we saw at Wrestle Kingdom. Now, for all of you out there that ask me, DT, did you watch Wrestle Kingdom yet? No, I have not. I worked a full day today. was on the phone with Misha Montana for almost an hour, and then preparing for the show tonight, and then Dynamite starts, and the next thing you know, I'm right here. So I will be watching Wrestle Kingdom this weekend. I'm going to sit down and check it out. I want to let everybody know something right away that, you know, and listen, I will never talk down at you. I will inform you, but I want, you know, and I understand that 98% of you out there don't watch New Japan on any regular basis. You don't. There's a lot of people online that'll act like they do. There's a lot of people online that'll claim now that they're watching everything, and you know that they're not. But let me explain a couple of things. First off, you know, if you don't watch Japanese wrestling on any regular basis, you know, the crowds react much different in Japan than they do over here. All right. The audience and how they treat people and cheer and jeer, you know, they don't, you know, really get rabid and start, you know, throwing insults. You don't hear chants as much like you do in the States. The atmosphere is much different, and it is about spectacle. And when Mercedes came out yesterday and her music is glaring, and understand also Japanese music, their theme music is different than the United States. You know, I always joked when I did Tombstone Radio 20 years ago online, you listen to some of the entrance themes from Hall of Fame American wrestlers that wrestled in Japan. You're like, what the fuck is this music? You ever hear Hulk Hogan's music from Japan? I'm not talking about NWO stuff. You know, you go and you check out some of the other wrestlers from Japan. Some of the music was awesome. Some of it was, what the hell am I listening to? You know, Stan Hansen, I think, had a pretty cool theme. But, you know, the music in Japan is much different than the United States, you know, so the type of music, you can't judge what we watch on, you know, in the States or even, you know, UK or something like that and compare it to Japanese wrestling themes. That's first off. And second off, the crowd handles wrestlers much differently. They are in awe. They are watching as a spectacle. They, out of respect to the wrestlers, are very, very silent, especially when there's a confrontation in the ring. They're not trying to haze. They're not trying to do when Bray Wyatt first debuted on the main roster and you have people at ringside, hey, Husky Harris, Husky Harris. You know, those fans handle it much differently. Now, yes, if they go to a WWE event, because of how WWE is presented, the audience will act a little bit differently, but they still don't do what fans normally do in the States. And there's something else very, very important that a lot of people still don't realize. And we've talked about this before. There is COVID protocol in Japan. China, we all know the news about China right now, and that's awful. And we hope that, you know, they can clear this up as quickly as possible. But in Japan, there is still a lot of COVID protocol. And it's not just limiting how many people that attend an event. But, you know, Japan has asked fans not to yell, not to cheer, not to get rowdy, you know, because they're trying to, you know, prevent. I talked about this with my brother's birthday a year and a half ago. My brother turned 50, and we thought we were going to a quiet Italian restaurant in Long Island to celebrate his birthday, about six or seven of us. And I took the night off as far as driving. I went in my dad's car. You'll see where I'm going with this. And I drove with my family to Long Island. And we walk into the restaurant. And it ends up, it's a surprise party for my brother. There's about 100 people there. And this is a year and a half ago where COVID is still a little bit, you know, the virus itself is a little more potent, a little bit more serious, you know, to think about. And I sat there. And there were people yelling in my face. Music would come on. They start screaming and singing along with it. I took an Uber home. I paid $70 and took an Uber home. I could have just sat in my dad's truck for the next 2 hours, let them enjoy the party and everything, and I could have just sat there and played with my phone because I had no other way to get home. Here's my point. You know, having people scream right in my face, I got nervous. I just felt like I'm going to get the fucking virus. I didn't feel safe. And in Japan, they have some extreme protocol that there are certain things you cannot do at a wrestling event. So when the crowd is a little bit quieter than what you would have perceived it to be, understand a lot of it has to do with current protocol with COVID. So, you know, again, you could tell that to everybody on social media and they'd rather just say, wow, this crowd really didn't give a shit about Mercedes. people don't want to know the truth. You know, they just want a reason to lash out or voice out about something. So, all right, let's talk about the move, the one move that Mercedes did. Now, after Kyrie had her match, we had a stare down. And look, Mercedes looked fabulous. I like, you know, the new hair design. Her outfit is very reminiscent of what she has in the States. But basically, she extends her hand to Kyrie. And Kyrie shakes her hand. And the next thing you know, Mercedes hits her new finisher on Kyrie. And it did not go off well at all. Now, this was the aftermath. Sasha Banks pretty much issuing a challenge. She wants international gold. That was one of the sausage that I teased on Twitter. Sasha wants international gold. And will they fight? What was it, February 4th? Is that the next? I don't know if that, wait, that's Stardom actually, February 4th. But, you know, will they fight in February? It could be as soon as February. March seems a long ways away, but understand Mercedes is going to need some time to prepare. Yes, she's worked out in Mexico, but they're going to hype up this match. They're going to give it some time. And remember, in the back of your mind, the way Japan is handling pro wrestling events is a little bit different of how it's handling the United States. So this match may not happen immediately. Now, when we talk about AEW, I promise you, when you're done with this show, or when you're done, when I'm done talking about this, you're going to say, okay, it makes total sense now why Mercedes Moné was never going to be the advertised partner of Saraya. I know I've brought this up before, but again, especially tonight, people doubling and tripling down. And I understand why. Sasha, after Wrestle Kingdom was over, did a little speech, you know, did a little press conference, and she was teasing that, you know, this isn't, you know, she's going to be doing more. This isn't the only thing. And now Los Angeles, you know the story about what happened with Paige and her injury and Sasha Banks. So you feel like, just for an emotional standpoint, wouldn't it come full circle that Paige is back in the ring wrestling, and who better to be her partner as the woman that not only just exited WWE for a little while, she'll be back in the WWE, but, you know, the person who put her on the shelf technically. So, yeah, it makes total sense. And Tony Khan, if anybody has the money, you know, to do it, he can. But again, if she shows up and wrestles for AEW prior to an event in Japan, you know, that upstages everything that's going on with New Japan. If you notice, there was almost no mention tonight about Wrestle Kingdom 17. Remember the Forbidden Door working relationship. Let me tell you something. This paid subscription for new Ring of Honor talent, there's got to be some concern. And yes, what happened with NWA last week, which I'll talk about in a little bit, is something that you should think about with Ring of Honor. But also understand, too, if Triple H ends up, you know, finalizing that Forbidden Door deal with AAA, and he works out something with New Japan and allows a little bit of work. Look, Carl Anderson, it's a good example of it. You know, there is communication there. Why do you think the noise is so silent about Dragon Lee, you know, being one half of the AAA Tag Team Championship champions right now? We have a WWE contracted wrestler defeat an AEW contracted wrestler last week. Have you heard anybody talk about that? Isn't that mega history? Could you imagine if it was the opposite? Could you imagine if a current WWE signed wrestler, contracted wrestler, was a AAA champion, lost the title to a contracted AEW? That would be the headline on every website right now. But a lot of people think that Tony Khan is not happy with AAA. He is not happy with New Japan. That, you know, the feeling is, you know, what the fuck? Why are you even talking to the enemy? You know, the thing is that AAA and New Japan and other companies out there are going to do what they think is best for their company. So, you know, I don't want to put words in Tony Khan's mouth, but you see, you know, what happened, you know, Guevara being pulled and, you know, other things going. There's a lot of buzz that, you know, Tony Khan is not happy with these promotions. And remember, when we did predictions for Ring of Honor's last pay-per-view, I said, if FTR loses those Ring of Honor titles, that means they're about to lose everything. that, you know, because Tony Khan never capitalized and put that fourth set of tag titles on them. They were everybody else's champion, but were not AEW's champion. And yes, you know, they won in the past. But the idea of them walking around playing Ultimo Dragon or Great Sasuke, who's an even better example, you know, and they never, as soon as it seemed like, oh, they're dropping to AAA, okay, now we could take the Ring of Honor belts because now they're only going to have one or two sets of titles. So let's get into quickly Mercedes and the move that happened yesterday. Okay, I'm going to show you in regular speed what this finisher is supposed to look like. I'll show it to you in full speed, then I'll show it to you slower. Now, as you watch it, I'll show it to you twice. Now, for everybody in audio only, I'll describe it. You don't have to race over and check out video just to see it. But, you know, everybody that is watching it, though, pay attention to not only Mercedes, but the first time you watch it, pay attention to Mercedes. But the second time you watch it, pay strictly attention, close attention to her opponent. Because you see what Mercedes is supposed to do, and then you look at what her opponent was supposed to do. This is how the move was supposed to go down. Watch your screen. Okay, like a DDT. But when her opponent drops their feet on the mat, they spin around, and then she hits she implants them with the DDT. Here it is, slower, without speed, without sound. Okay, watch this slower. Okay, wrong one. Here it is. Here it is. Here you go. All right, watch closely. All right. See, she's got the wrestler up, and they're behind him. Now, when she drops them, all this right now is just style because nothing happens to her opponent, but they flip around. And then here comes the DDT. Watch closely. See, picks them up and then drops them down and they turn over and then they're in position to get hit with a spiked DDT, whatever you call it. It's actually not a complicated move. Watch it again in full speed. Spin, plant.
Oh, beautiful. Fuck yes.
So you see, you know, it looks like a pretty simple move, but obviously timing on both sides is absolutely necessary. Now, I want you to watch. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to show you what happened yesterday in slower speed. Now, watch very, very closely. We have the handshake, and Sasha pulls her in. There you go. Lifts her up. Now, remember, she lifts her up, and she's supposed to drop her back down. And while she drops it back down, Kairi is going to spin around, duck, and then Sasha hits her with a DDT. Now watch Sasha first. She drops her down, and she goes to hit the DDT, but she realizes that Kairi is already on the mat. And, yeah, complete mess up. Let's watch it in regular speed. Watch it in regular speed. Now watch Kairi. She jumped back up. She, after the DDT is supposed to be hit. Now, if you ever watch like RVD, how he used to take a DDT, like he gets planted and then he pops up and goes backwards. Kairi was supposed, I guess she was going to try to pop up after being spiked. But by now, Sasha's already getting up. And it looked really, really bad. Let's watch it one more time in slow motion. All right, there you go. There's the handshake. She goes, picks up Kairi, pulls her up. You know, almost it's almost like a reverse of Jade's finisher. Jaded. She's got it picked up, but she drops it back down and watch strictly Kairi. She's immediately goes onto the floor. Right now, Sasha, she should be, you know, still standing, but bent so Sasha could hit her with a DDT. So now Sasha realizes, oh, fuck, Kairi's on the mat. So Sasha tries to go low and try to hit her. Now watch Sasha very, very closely. There you go. She tries to hit her backwards. Now, here's the worst part. Watch Kyrie. She gets up and then falls backwards. So, look, anybody that follows this show, I'm a big Kyrie fan. Kyrie and Oscar, one of my favorite tag teams in the women's division in recent years. I have three of their shirts. I have a Kyrie Sane shirt, a Kabuki Warrior shirt, and I don't remember what the other design was. I didn't buy it so I could get, you know, like, hey, thank you for, you know, following us. No, I bought it because I like their stuff. I wear things of people that I appreciate over the years. But in my honest opinion, that was all Kyrie's fault. That was all Kyrie's fault. So I know people were clamoring to, you know, joke about, oh, Mercedes botched. Oh, she'll fit in AEW perfectly. Listen, you don't want to see that. I feel bad for Kyrie. I mean, obviously, you know, something went totally wrong with the communication, and it is what it is. But look, she's back. Appreciate it. And I wish people would just stop, you know, insisting that we have to hate WWE at the same time of enjoying Mercedes doing a little bit more. I could only imagine, you know, how some of these fans that act this way, how they would have reacted 20 years ago. 20 years ago, especially when wrestlers, you know, jumped ship, or you had a wrestler that would go to Japan for a little while. You know, now let me get into this. This will be very easy. As far as with Toni Storm, okay, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. And I want to remind everyone something I said 2 weeks ago, that if you just think of logic, common sense, it's not hard to figure this out. But again, that's not going to get anybody hits, likes, views. That's why people insist on teasing things that, you know, just remember the teasing about Bray Wyatt, the teasing about, you know, MJF, when the teasing of certain people and how people have gotten Cody Rhodes. You know, remember all the clickbait. The deal is this. Sasha Banks is being paid a lot of money to work in Japan. She is going to be there for a very short period of time. And everything that she does is going to matter, and it's going to matter big. She just showed up at New Japan's, what people will call their WrestleMania. She is getting paid a crazy amount of money to do this. And she wants to do it at her maximum. She wants to, you know, reinvent herself a little bit. Not just a different name, but a little bit of a different look, a little bit of a different style, a little bit of a different personality. And this is going to hype up a match between her and Kyrie, which is something we have talked about before. And the thing is that you are not sorry. As much as you love AEW, as much as you fantasize Mercedes being in AEW, Japan is not going to ink a deal with Mercedes. And then before she can even have her first match in Japan against Kyrie for the IWGP Women's Championship, that she is going to be a Cracker Jack surprise on a Wednesday Dynamite. No, not Revolution, not a paid event, a Cracker Jack surprise. And I'm not trying to diminish that. That is not a shot on her or Saray or even the match that's going to happen next week in Los Angeles. People got used to these surprises, these Cracker Jack surprises, that I won't open a box of Cracker Jack to eat the popcorn and the peanuts. I got to open the box because it's a surprise. I don't want to buy this cereal because I like grape nuts, but wow, they got some cool tattoos. I got to open it up for the prize. So people are more about unbelievable, epic, amazing, look, I'm shaking, I got goosebumps on my arms moments. But meanwhile, you imagine what New Japan's reaction would be if they hype this up, pay her that kind of money, and then she becomes a surprise tag team partner for Saraya on a regular edition of Dynamite. I mean, that's not hard to figure out. And the worst part about it is, now look, give props to your Fightfuls and everybody else, because, you know, they throw out their what ifs as wrestling fans. But they don't throw specifics out there like that because they understand a lot of the business side of it as well. And plus, there's a lot of reports that Tony Khan is not very thrilled about AAA and New Japan right now. They're not thrilled at all. So even if Tony Khan says, I'm going to sign you to a deal, I'm going to give you $5 million, I want you to wrestle on the January 11th AEW Dynamite. I cannot picture New Japan telling Mercedes or AEW, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Everything is going to be the focus about what she did in Japan, and it's going to stay there. Now, people are trying to backtrack tonight and say, oh, they can't announce it. You know, Shida will attack Toni Storm, and then Saraya will not have a partner, and Mercedes just happened to be in Los Angeles and just happened to have her outfit. You know, and she just happens to show up, and she'll be the tag partner. Yeah, that's fantasy, and who knows? Maybe it does happen next week. Maybe it does. But when you look at the amount of money that was paid to Mercedes, and understand something else too, okay? Bayley made the trip. FTR, you know, the reason why, you know, they were not on Dynamite tonight is because they actually were in Japan as well. All right, there you go. And that was cool. They recreated a picture that they took several years ago. That was very, very cool. And by the way, tonight, you know, doing a little digs at FTR a little bit, you know, their contracts are up in a very short amount of time. And if you saw the thumbnail for tonight's show, you know, we talked about it before. Way before anybody else picked up on it, that was your public enemy number one. There was never going to be a reconciliation with CM Punk. The EVPs and the Elite were going to do everything they possibly could to get the threat out of the locker room. CM Punk is truly the voice of the voiceless of that locker room. There's a lot of people in that locker room that take CM Punk's side but cannot open up their mouth because without AEW, they may not even survive on the indies. So whenever they want to shut those rumors up about it, they will throw, you know, crumbs to certain news journalists, not all of them, and they'll push out a narrative. They'll push this, they'll push that. Oh, CM Punk is not welcome back in the locker room. A lot of people say they would threaten to quit and this and that. They do that because he is public enemy number one. And then before the Sammy Guevara incident with this man, I came up here and I said, there's public enemy number two, Andrade. Andrade, a WWE, you know, guy originally, and, you know, he's got that style about him, but he also has that attitude. He doesn't, you know, he beats to his own drum and doesn't work well with a lot of people in the locker room, is not, you know, playing those politics. And you saw, you know, his style and his views doesn't, you know, it clashes with a lot of people there. He became public enemy number two. And then we had the incident with Guevara. Now he had the surgery, so he would have been out anyway. Kind of mirrors CM Punk. But now you got public enemy number three. Yes, I only changed the head. The Photoshop looks pretty good, but when you look at it like that, I only changed the head. But that is public enemy number three, Dax Harwood. Right now, that company is not happy with him at all. It's not just his relationship with CM Punk, but his podcast, throwing it out there about Colt Cabana, you know, saying how he feels about Meltzer ratings, putting it out there that journalists are favoring certain people in that company and the EVPs throw the crumbs. You know, he threw a lot of stuff out there. And right now, those journalists and those EVPs are doing everything they can to set up the agenda, which social media will carry out. Dax Harwood will be one of the most disliked wrestlers in AEW. And you already see it. And I've seen it written a lot of times already. Wow, AEW shows a lot of love to his daughter and, you know, did a shirt and all this stuff. And this is how he pays them back. He throws shade at Colt Cabana. He throws shade at, you know, politics. Like, you know, why are you putting it out there? So he is quickly becoming public enemy number three. But so just to wrap up with the Saraya situation, you know, you had Bayley go to Japan. You had FTR go to Japan. You had other wrestlers go to Japan. They were going because they are fans of Japanese wrestling. People forgot there is like a WrestleMania type event going on. So they wanted to go, not just because Mercedes was going to be there, because it was fucking Wrestle Kingdom 17. You had incredible matches. I haven't watched it yet, but I see what everybody's writing about what went down. I mean, it was an amazing card. So you had fans, wrestlers who were fans of the product. So they went. I don't know Mercedes Renato personally. But one thing that I truly believe is when she issues tweets like this, thanking Triple H, thanking Vince McMahon, thanking William Regal, thanking the crew, even thanking Sasha Banks, because without the Sasha Banks character, she would not be in the position she is right now. And she's on a temporary journey and doing something a little bit outside the box. And when she posts that out there, she's not going to thank all of them and then turn around and take that middle finger and shove it up their asses by working out a deal with AEW. Could she sign? Sure. But, you know, you look at the political side of it and the business side of it, Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis are no longer actively in the company, visibly there. And not only that, you see how the vibe and the climate and the atmosphere has changed. People want to paint this narrative that Sasha Banks hates WWE, and I don't believe that anywhere remotely to be the truth. So I personally think that if she were to go to AEW, it would be simply because WWE doesn't think they need her at the present time. And I don't mean just WrestleMania. I'm talking about 2023. If WWE feels, look, we're going to focus on building Bianca a little bit more, building this person, trying to push this person, this and that. You know, maybe 2024 is a better scenario. You know, if she were to take a year off, I could see that possibly happening. But I don't believe that Mercedes is going to sign a deal with AEW unless, WWE is aware that this is going. I don't think it's, and I know what some of you are going to say, well, she's not under contract, she's not obligated. But you know what? There is a certain camaraderie in that business and the people that you worked with before. You know, right now, William Regal, there is nothing on paper where he can, really cannot do this, but he can do this. Is that their contracts were never that detailed. You know, but as I said before, if William Regal is going to appear on WWE television at some point in 2023, I could almost bet the farm that William Regal will drop a text to Tony Khan or give him a call and say, hey, look, they want me to appear on this NXT event with my son, or they want me to, appear here or something like that. I think just out of respect that he would do that. So, Mercedes, yeah, some people may feel she's a little bit difficult to deal with in the world of pro wrestling, and that could be true. But I also feel, and we've talked about this for 8 months now, or 6 months, whatever it is, the problem with Mercedes is promises made, promises not kept. You know, when she came back the second time and Vince McMahon promised her certain things, her and Naomi, and promised things with the women's tag team division, and then the next thing you know, no, we want to do singles matches leading into Mania. We want you to fight Ronda. We want you to fight Bianca. You know, and they're like, wait, what about all the things you promised us? This is not, and then, the attitude of Johnny Ace, basically like, who the fuck you think you are? I mean, he didn't say it like that, but that's pretty much how it came across. Fuck you. I don't need this. I'll go do other things. But, after time, it heals wounds. And Sasha Banks has an incredible WWE career. I don't know why online you have to now hate WWE in order to support Mercedes. I actually watched people in the last 12 hours. Don't ever say the word Sasha Banks again. Her name is Mercedes, not Sasha. Get it right. Suck my butthole. Like, I'll call her whatever I want to call her. I might call her Sasha Banks out of force of habit, but, if I appreciate her career, I appreciate all of her career. It's a little ridiculous, but this is why she was never going to be the announced partner of Saraya. Plus, let's also think about, there's a lot of matches going down next week. We got Hangman Page versus Jon Moxley. You got Bryan Danielson, and when we quickly recap Dynamite, he's going to take on Takeshita next week, which is going to be a banger. You also got match 7 of the tag team trios titles, the trios tag team titles between the Death Triangle and the Elite. And if you even want to talk about it on a smaller scale, you got Hook and Jungle Boy taking on Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. And that match is going to be more fluff. I mean, you know Lee Moriarty is going to be eating the pin out of everything. But everything would be overshadowed with Mercedes being on that match. And then this is not a CM Punk signing. CM Punk was out of wrestling for 7 years and fell out of love with WWE. Yes, Mercedes had issues and she walked out. But there was a lot of communication about bringing her back. It's just that everybody is more concerned about getting their name out there because eventually she's going to come back. Eventually I'm going to die. Eventually a lot of wrestlers in their 70s are going to die. So eventually this person's contract's going to run out. Eventually this person is going to return here. And then if you say it long enough, hey, I told you I was right all along. You know, people are more concerned about getting a click. Look at the Edge Uncle Howdy stuff. Need I say more? Go do a Google search and see how many websites were reporting that, you know, a lot of fans believe that Edge could be Uncle Howdy. Now, that's journalists. Those are news reporters. Those are people who aspire to be journalists. Why would you even throw that on your site? Why would you even post that? Unless Edge became a diabetic or he got in trouble with the mafia and they cut his lower shins off and he's fucking 6 inches shorter. How is Edge going to be Uncle Howdy? Is he going to be walking on his knees to the ring? I mean, but go look and see how many websites did that. So when you see stuff like this, not reportedly, likely, possibly, will. It could happen. It could happen. Now, what happens next week if it doesn't? What are you going to say? Oh, talks fell through at the last minute. New Japan changed their mind, wouldn't allow her to... That's why I think one of my New Year's resolutions going forward is to be more of a wrestling fan than to pay attention to these twats in this news media world because it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous right now, it's not even funny. It's garbage. It's garbage. So I thought Mercedes' debut yesterday in New Japan was good. Her entrance was great. Her Japanese music was fine. She did what she needed to do. She, you know, called out Kairi, is going to fight her for that championship. It's going to happen in either February or March. That's when it's going to go down. So, you know, the idea of, you know, Mercedes working the Royal Rumble, I mean, look, anything is possible. But I'd rather just watch it as a wrestling fan than anything else. So, to be continued. But I thought what happened yesterday was great. Now, I want to get this out of the way very, very quickly. I'm not gay. I'm not bisexual. So it's really not me to really complain about this. It offends me. Things offend me. I don't have to be black to be offended when I see people, you know, act like racists. And the opposite as well. I don't have to be gay to, you know, be upset when somebody is profiled because of their sexual orientation. I'm a little shocked as to why, especially on the internet, there is no outrage or very, very little of it towards the great Muda right now. Now, look, he had a beautiful career, loved his work, loved the great Muda. He's going out in style. He's having a farewell tour, just had that awesome match with Shinsuke Nakamura. But if any of you out there don't know what I'm talking about, Shinsuke Nakamura just defeated the great Muda. And what they did was Shinsuke had the mist in his mouth. What they portrayed on TV was that Shinsuke stole the mist from Great Muda. Like Great Muda acted like he had the mist. Shinsuke took the mist from his mouth, sucking it out of his mouth, and then spitting it in Muda's eyes. All right, this is what it looked like. If you look at the screen... All right, he's acting like, you know, it looks like a kiss, but he's actually, you know, taking a mist. All right, look, he took my mist. That motherfucker, oh, he spit it in his face. And that's how it went down. After the event is over, they interview press conference with Great Muta. Great Muta said two words about Shinsuke Nakamura. By the way, I thought the finish was great. It was funny because everybody knows that I'm a big fan, always been a big fan of Andrew Dice Clay, and we just recently talked about that movie, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Do you remember when he ate the hors d'oeuvre and it tasted like cat shit? And then he saw his secretary, and when he went up to her, he grabbed her and started kissing her. And then really what he was doing is he's taking the hors d'oeuvre and taking it out of his mouth and spitting it in her mouth because he didn't want to swallow it. You know, remember Julie Grendel? So I thought of that when I saw this movie. I'm like, hey, all right, I can deal with it. But they interviewed Muta. One word that he said you will recognize immediately. The second word, though, is up for debate. I want to show you what he said first, and then we'll talk about it. You got to listen closely. I boosted up the audio so you could hear it as clear as possible.
Good. But maybe he's queer. He's hungry, maybe.
He's a queer. Then he said something else. Now, I could slow this down. I can enhance it, boost it 30 decibels. You could read his lips. You could do this. I can't figure out what the second word is. What is kind of shocking to me right now is the lack of scrutiny towards him for calling Shinsuke a queer. I saw people actually write, well, Japan, they look at this differently. If you're offended, you're offended no matter who does it. And there's like very little outrage. And then the worst part is some people are accusing him of saying the F word that rhymes with maggot. The ones that are scrutinizing him are claiming that he said the F word. The ones that are defending him are saying, oh, I think he called them the term poly. Poly? Watch this again. You tell me after he says queer, you think he says, oh, maybe he's poly, baby. Poly. Check this out.
Bye-bye, Shinsuke.
Oh, wait. We got to rewind it.
But maybe...
There you go.
But maybe he's queer. He's hungry, maybe.
Now, I'm not a lip reader. If I say poly, if you look at him, it looks like big difference. Look at his lips. I mean, I could zoom in, but we're not going to overanalyze this. I'll play it one more time.
But maybe he's queer. He's poly, maybe.
So, you got to see what's going on. But I want to show you something else. Now, you know, tweeting and deleting, you know, some people get away with it, but there are websites that actually save everything, and there is a database, and something was tweeted and deleted right after that happened. And this company is not being called out on it either. I want to show it with you right now. For those on video, take a look at your screen. For those on audio only, I will show you what this is. The actual promotion itself, Pro Wrestling Noah, went on Twitter and played the clip, and they wrote in the comment, Great Muta, quote, he is good. Bye-bye, Shinsuke. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. And then if you look down, people are like, I think he said something else. And people are like, wait a minute. Why are they celebrating this clip? He actually called him a queer and said something else. And Pro Wrestling Noah thinks that it's okay to post that anyway. It you know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of NWA that time when Jim Cornette made the comment about, who was it? It was, Trevor Murdoch. And he used the bucket of chicken reference that was outdated from Ethiopia, which was not classy on Cornette's part. But remember, that made it to YouTube. Why? Because whoever is in charge of posting it didn't see anything wrong with it. That promotion saw nothing wrong with Muda calling him a queer, even if he didn't say something else. Why? And look, I'm not telling anyone to cancel Great Muda. All right, he said something stupid. What I don't understand is, why is there such little outrage for that? You got a wrestler calling another wrestler a queer in 2023, and there's very, very little attention to it. Even on your big channels that will overanalyze everything. Lacey Evans nailed it to the cross, even though she's an idiot for making the comment she did about autism. I thought, look, I'm a big Lacey Evans supporter, and I'll even say that was kind of brain dead for what she did. But this, oh, gets a pass. Oh, he's retiring. He's old school. That's what they say in Japan. Verse, with all due respect, saying that it's not USA doesn't make it better. If you're outraged if somebody uses certain terms, you should be outraged no matter where it's said and who says it. You're outraged, period. All right. Let's get into a few other things. So, AEW Dynamite tonight. This was your lineup. As we said earlier, congratulations to... oh my God, I'm drawing a fucking blank. Darby Allin for winning the TNT Championship. Did anybody think that Sting was going to turn on him? No. I didn't think so because Sting made those recent comments that Darby Allin is going to be involved in some capacity with his final match. Unless maybe they're going to face each other one-on-one. You think Sting would choose Darby Allin as his opponent for his last time? I don't know. But Darby Allin, as soon as we heard he was main event tonight, okay, he's winning that championship. But, you know, we had... what we thought was a tag team title change earlier. And I liked it. I liked it, with the exception of one thing. And personally, let me say one other thing about Muda. I don't think Muda will end up showing up on AEW now. Remember, we talked about that possibility. Will they bring him into the States? Will WWE or AEW showcase him even for a moment? You know, WWE allowed Shinsuke to go work the match. But now, especially after that, I guarantee you, if AEW announces a Muda appearance in the United States or even WWE, I guarantee you suddenly this clip will be played 500 million times. How could you let in 2023? Might as well bring Hogan in. I'm telling you, you mark my words. So, and we're not done talking about Dax tonight. We got to get into a little bit more with that. But anyway, so we almost had a tag team title change tonight. And I enjoyed it, except for... one thing, maybe two. We had the Acclaimed defending the tag team championships against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. And yes, they are getting a rematch this Friday at Battle of the Belts, which starts at 11 o'clock p.m. People are interested. Some of you asked if I'm going to be doing a watch party. I will think about it. I don't think that I'll be around, because we are doing a SmackDown one and a Rampage one. I mean, sitting on my ass for 4 hours is kind of asking a lot, especially when some of these watch parties you make a big fat goose egg, with all due respect. You know, I mean, I am married, so I kind of like enjoy married life a little bit. But they are getting a rematch Saturday. Why? Well, because of this. During the match tonight, we had a little controversy. What happened was, Anthony Bowens, and this is the only part I didn't like, Anthony Bowens took an awful-looking stroke from Jeff Jarrett. If you go back, I guarantee you right now that AEW Botch's channel is already playing that old Tiffany music and splicing it in. Ooh, baby. They're having a field day right now. Anthony Bowens, it looked awful with the stroke. But what happened was, he goes to pin Anthony Bowens, has his leg on the rope, and Jay Lethal knocks the leg away. And referee didn't see it. Counts to three, awards the tag team championships to Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. And right away I look on social media, everybody's losing their shit. So believe, I thought for a split, I'm like, where is this going to go? Jeff Jarrett in 2023 is the AEW tag team champion. Like, that's something you wouldn't think AEW would do. But here comes Aubrey Edwards, and she's talking about it with the referee, and Aubrey Edwards is telling her that, you know, Anthony Bowens' leg was knocked off the rope, and he shouldn't have been pinned. The problem I have with that whole spot, besides the stroke, is if you watch the referee was not looking in that direction. So whether Anthony Bowens' leg was on the rope, off the rope, somebody took a machete and cut his ankle off, you know, unlaced his boots, tickled his feet, sucked on his toes, the referee was not looking in that direction. That referee was going to count to three no matter what. So that was the only issue I had with it. But the finish is Aubrey Edwards and the referee restart the match. And when they restart the match, pretty much the exact same thing just happened. Jay Lethal rolls up Anthony Bowens. And Max Caster, because Jay Lethal was using the ropes for leverage, Max Caster knocks Jay Lethal's leg off of the rope. And as a result, Anthony Bowens reverses it and pins. Now, why the referee should not have started that match again, even though Max Caster knocked Lethal's legs off the rope, because you can't win with a leg advantage. Using the ropes for your advantage, even if you knock someone's feet off of the rope, you're using it for leverage. You're not using it to try to stop the count. So that's why you can't use that idea. But for some reason, Tony Khan tells Jeff Jarrett in storyline, yeah, the way that went down, you get a rematch. So they're actually going to get a rematch at Battle of the Belts, and apparently it's no DQ, whatever. So, but yeah, it was considered a dusty finish, and it wasn't bad. It's just the stroke looked awful. And again, that referee wasn't looking anywhere near that vicinity. So whether his leg was on or not on the ropes, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, if Anthony Bowens would have tried to kick out at the very last second, you know, that could have enhanced it a little bit. But, you know, the referee was not looking. I mean, how many times is a referee not looking when a hammer is used? How many times is a referee not looking when someone uses the ropes for advantage? Does that mean because now every time somebody's using the ropes or something without the referee seeing an event, Aubrey Edwards is going to come out and say, no, start the match? You know, for baby faces, and because we don't want Jeff Jarrett to be a tag team champion in AEW 2023, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, but, you know, if you go back and you watch it, I think they probably should have done a little bit different with the finish. But, yeah, so they're going to get a tag team rematch, title match on Battle of the Belts. In fact, they have three matches announced for Battle of the Belts. Jade Cargill will defend the women's championship, the TBS championship, I should say, against Sky Blue. We know the outcome there. The Acclaim versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, no holds barred. I think we have an idea what's going to happen there. And Kip Sabian is going to challenge Orange Cassidy for the All-Atlantic Championship. I mean, that match is probably the only match that we really are not sure, like, who's actually going to win. But those are your three matches for Battle of the Belts. Rampage this Friday, they have Brian Danielson and Jon Moxley teaming up to take on Top Flight. The House of Black will talk again. Preston Vance will have a squash match. And then you have the Renegades. That was funny. Didn't we talk about them like a week or two ago? Didn't they get an AEW deal and then they just disappeared? They're going to take on Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. So I'll tell you the truth. If they're going to try to do a swerve with Toni Storm on next Wednesday's Dynamite, I'd like to see maybe something get announced for Friday, that maybe Toni Storm will comment, you know, do an interview segment, or maybe there's a little bit more of a confrontation with Sheeta, because Sheeta is going to turn on Toni Storm. That's why I think, you know, Toni Storm, she's got to have the match next week. maybe Sheeta comes out there and causes Storm and Sheeta the win. And there's your feud. Now, look, the reason why Samoa Joe dropped the TNT Championship tonight, not only because it was in Darby's hometown, but because they're going to have Wardlow and Samoa Joe feuding a little bit. And the thing is that the Ring of Honor Championship, the TV title, is not going to be on the line. They want Wardlow to get a couple of wins on Samoa Joe. Not easy to do when Samoa Joe is still the TNT champion. So, but again, I'm a little surprised we didn't see Wardlow getting a little bit more revenge tonight. But so, other matches from tonight. We had Ricky Starks defeat Chris Jericho, the losing streak that we talked about that they're going to play with Chris Jericho. Maybe he's lost his edge a little bit. That continues tonight. After the match is over, the entire Jericho Appreciation Society attacks Ricky Starks. Here comes Action Andretti with a chair. Once again, the awful spots. Jake Hager's just standing there waiting to get chair bashed. And then here comes, you know, Daniel Garcia. He gets bashed. And here comes 2.0, and they get bashed. Like, everybody's taking a turn while everybody watches the other person get hit. My question about all of that was, anybody take notice of Jake Hager's feet, his legs? I have the purple hat inside. I was going to wear it tonight. Jake Hager dumped Ricky Starks through a table that was placed outside the ring. I mean, I was popping when Jake Hager was doing a Ricky Starks pose. I'm not even going to try to do it. But if you look closely, Jake Hager, his legs, I think some of your penises are thicker than his legs. His legs look like a 17-year-old. I mean, I know that he went, you know, low carb, and that guy is cut and thick, and he has dropped a boatload of body fat. I mean, I'd be surprised if his body fat is more than 5% right now, or 7%. But he has lost a lot of muscle in his legs. I don't know if there was an injury or some type of atrophy, but if you go look at Jake Hager after he drops Ricky Starks through the table, I think the term you'll probably see written over and over again is chicken legs. He looks like, in fact, if I was AEW or Ricky Starks, because you know this is leading to a match with Ricky Starks and Jake Hager, I'd have Ricky Starks cut a promo next week and call him chicken legs. What's up with those chicken legs? I think that actually would get over with the fans. Chicken legs, chicken legs. I think we should start doing, yeah, hashtag chicken legs. Let's start it, Jake Hager. I mean, look, am I to talk? If you look at my shirt right now, I mean, Randy Savage looked like he gained 30 pounds because it's kind of like stretched. Not as bad as before, though. So, Jake Hager versus Ricky Starks is in the works. John Moxley, Hangman Page had a little bit of a confrontation setting up their match next week. Page revealing, look, you know, the joke. Joking about what happened to me is what put me over the edge. Moxley, you know, making fun of Page tonight, you know, calling him out for whining and complaining. Like, look, I got injured and I tore things and I went to India and still did this. But, you know, the heat feels legit going into next week. I mean, look, it was an unfortunate incident. Obviously, Moxley, you know, was very concerned for Hangman Page that night. But as far as TV goes, I think it's worked really, really well. They will be having a match next week. The big question right now is, what are you going to have Powerhouse Hobbs do? For 2 weeks now, there's been no road, you know, to whatever. He's been walking the streets. Somehow he went into a nudie bar and got lost. He got lost somewhere. Maybe he's in El Paso. Somehow he made the wrong turn. But they're going to be in his home neck of the woods next week. I wonder if they're going to put Powerhouse Hobbs some way with this Hangman Page Moxley thing. I almost feel it's got to be something really important. Unless, oh no, I just thought about it. What if he comes out and attacks Bryan Danielson? Because, you know, we could get into that now. Bryan Danielson and MJF had a fun back and forth tonight. MJF still going with the brain dead Bryan. Bryan Danielson cracking jokes about MJF's mother. MJF even said that if Lance Storm and Dean Malenko ever had a baby, it would still have more charisma than Bryan Danielson. And then Bryan Danielson, he says that, because MJF was talking about how Bryan Danielson's mother couldn't find a human suitor back in 1981. You know, maybe like Bryan Danielson's test tube experiment. Bryan Danielson talks about, you know, maybe Mrs. Friedman, MJF's mother, maybe she had like quite a few human suitors for MJF. Maybe it was a mixture. Maybe they made a little bit of a semen soup. Wow, hashtag semen soup. Hey, MJF, if you hear me, maybe come out, use that somewhere. Semen soup. I just thought of that one. I don't even know. I'm afraid to Google that. I'm afraid to Google that. So they do something. I don't know how people feel about it. MJF says he talked to the nerd, Tony Khan, and came up with an idea that if Bryan Danielson wins all of his matches for the next month leading into February 8th, he would get a title shot from MJF. So that's the stipulation now. So what that means is that Bryan Danielson is going to have four matches on TV. And didn't we do that with MJF a while back? With who was it? Was it with Jericho? Was it with Jericho that you have to, or no, wait, yeah, wasn't it Jericho? He had to face like all different opponents, and he faced Juventud Guerrera, and he faced a bunch of others. Like, we've had that a few times where MJF makes someone, like, didn't someone have to beat every member of the Pinnacle in order to get to them? I don't know how I feel about that. Look, Danielson versus Takeshita is going to be off the hook. But, yo, if you win the next 4 weeks, you'll get a title match. Bryan Danielson wants to pick the stipulation. So MJF's like, yeah, what are you going to do? Make it no DQ? Oh, so I can hit you in front of the referee? So that was a good comeback by MJF. Because anybody that ever wants to make a stipulation, it's going to be no disqualification. I would be happy with that. Good. Now I could do whatever I want. But MJF, oh, so it was Jericho and no, yeah, Nick Gage was one of his opponents, but I remember Jericho had to fight different people. But now Bryan Danielson wants to pick the stip for the match that you know. Now you know Bryan Danielson's winning all his matches. So, you know, if there's Las Vegas bet odds in the next 4 weeks, bet your life, bet your kidneys, bet the house, bet everything your family owns. If you could place bets on Dynamite matches in the next 4 weeks, you got to bet your whole life on Bryan Danielson. So you know he's winning the next 4 weeks. So Danielson picks the stipulation. It's going to be a 60-minute Iron Man match. So at that pay-per-view, well, two things are going to happen now, which is really interesting. One good thing about it is you're not going to have 14 matches because 1 hour of it is going to be Bryan Danielson versus MJF. The bad thing about it is you're going to get 60 minutes of Bryan Danielson versus MJF. MJF is a great storyteller in the ring. And look, I don't mind watching an hour of Bryan Danielson. It's a lot of fun. But there's going to be a hell of a lot of gaga going on in this match. And I almost feel like, you know, this match could end up, you know, with one full difference. And MJF will probably squeak it out. And Bryan Danielson doesn't have to be technically pinned clean. He could be counted out. And that could be the decision maker. Somebody could get involved. That could be the decision maker. But there's going to be a lot of gaga during that match. But, you know, look, if you love Iron Man matches, I don't think it'll disappoint. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Swerve Strickland beat AR Fox. He had his mogul associates with him. Saraya cuts a promo, as we said earlier. She's with Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida. And, you know, the funny thing is about that, too, I was thinking about this. You know, that promo that they recorded was done a week ago. So everybody tonight that was saying like, oh, yeah, Tony Khan, because of yesterday and all the buzz, yeah, you're flipping the script, you know, to try to throw us off track. You know, that was a week ago that they set that shit up. So Saraya is sitting with Cheetah and Storm talking about they're like two of the top women in the company. And she says that she's choosing the best wrestler in AEW to be a partner, and she looks at Toni Storm. The funny thing about it was so overly dramatic. You know, Saraya is in the middle, and you got Toni Storm, and you got Sheeta over here. And, you know, she's giving props to both of them. But when she decides she's going to, you know, announce Toni Storm, she purposely, like, if this is Toni Storm, she goes, and I have selected Toni Storm. You will be my take. And that was done because right now, Saraya is looking only at Toni Storm, and Sheeta's like, bitch, what'd you say? What'd you say? You know? So Sheeta was pissed the fuck off. So that's what's going down. So that'll happen next week. The Ass Boys, the Gun Club, they did a little bit of an FTR funeral. Did I take any screenshots? I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Oh, I probably. Oh, yeah, I did take a screenshot. Yeah, here it is. Here's one. Why am I getting doubles? Okay. I think everything just doubled. Yeah. FTR obviously was not there because of the fact that they were in Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. They weren't going to make it back in time. That's why we didn't even have match 7. I mean, next week is better to have match 7 overseas. I mean, over in Los Angeles. But, you know, FTR was not there. But they're doing the burial. You know, they're mocking them. I think FTR will end up getting a win over the Gun Club. Honestly, look, even though the Gun Club right now are still looked at as more of enhancement talent, which I think might be a little bit unfair, FTR is on the way out. But at the same time, though, I think FTR will end up getting a win. I mean, look, Tony Khan hasn't decided, you know, they're damaged goods and that's it. We're going to just bury them beyond belief on their way out. FTR has value. That crowd pops. Tony Khan doesn't want to piss off the fans that much. So this will lead to an FTR win, no question. But, you know, a little mockery on the way out. In fact, they even took a shot at Dax's podcast, which probably more people are going to tune into the podcast now because it was mentioned. And as I said earlier, unfortunately, Dax Harwood now, public enemy number 3. You watch, you give it about maybe 2 weeks, and you'll see more little crumbs being thrown out there. You know, if you notice with Miro, if you notice with Andrade, if you notice with Thunder Rosa, if you notice with a few others, whenever there's that buzz that starts to pick up about said wrestler, especially if it's in favor of that wrestler and it's criticism towards AEW, there's always a journalist within a week that throws something out there to try to silence that noise. And the most recent one was Miro. That, you know, when people like, and look, everyone, you know, ever since we joked 3 or 4 weeks ago with, you know, CJ Perry making those remarks about Rusev Day, you know, coming back, that was what, a week before Christmas? You know, next week is 3 weeks already, you know, since that time. And there's 3 more weeks, no Miro whatsoever. So the fans are like, yeah, why the fuck is this guy not on TV? Why are they burying him this hard? And that picks up steam, and then next thing you know, a week later, oh, he balked at creative, or he didn't want to do this, or didn't want to do that. And everybody's like, oh, well, yeah, if I was AEW, I wouldn't use him either if he doesn't want to go with the program. So this is what's happening now. The difference is Dax is very outspoken about his friendship with CM Punk, and you see how they're hyping up Match 7, you got the NBA on NBC's theme blasting in the background. They're making it feel like it's an NBA playoff game. And you don't go this far talking about LeBron James and everything else just to have the Elite lose at the last minute. The Elite will be your next champions. And then you'll have Kenny Omega start bragging about multiple championships. And we see if any of those guys add additional titles to their collection. So that pretty much was your card tonight. It was a fun episode of Dynamite. I tell you the truth, you know, last week they dropped back into the eights. I don't see any reason why they can't hit around 950 today. I think the show was solid from beginning to end. Next week, as I said earlier, it's almost like 1.1 million or bust. You know, will they hit 1.1 million? I think that would be kind of extreme. But I think 1.05 million is very, very doable. I think they really got to hit 1 million viewers today, just for the curiosity factor about Mercedes and AEW. And I'm very curious to see what goes down next week. As a wrestling fan, yeah, put her on TV next week. As a wrestling fan, fuck yeah. Throw Mercedes on AEW. You know, why wouldn't you? If you like her work, yeah. But realistically, as I said before, if you think about the business side of wrestling, which a lot of people don't pay attention to, why would New Japan go with that? You know, why would they go along with that? That takes so much focus off of Mercedes. And by the way, if you are interested, go check this out. She has some merchandise on Pro Wrestling Tees already. The prices are comparable of the AEW merchandise. So, you know, you don't have the things $5 and $10 extra because it's Mercedes merchandise. But that is some of the merch. Here is something else. A lot of people are kind of liking the Sailor Moon outfit. So she's got some merch. And you know what's going to happen, friends. Within a week, they're going to report that Mercedes is the number one merchandise seller on Pro Wrestling Tees. Let her make her money, man. You know, look, remember this? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, that she was going to make $1 million. And people like, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? Learn your math. Well, they actually made it official last week that she did make $1 million on her fan site. So, you know, never doubt the Don. Never doubt the Don. So Rampage is set up. Battle of the Belts is set up. Next week's Dynamite, Takeshita versus Danielson. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus Saraya and Tony Storm. Moxley versus Hangman Page. Big Bill and Hook versus Big Bill and Lee Moriarty versus Hook and Jungle Boy. And then we have match 7, the ladder match for the Trios Tag Team Championships. Very quickly before we talk a little NXT. It really doesn't affect many of you, but we got to talk about it anyway. If you might remember not too long ago, NWA announced that their Power episodes were going to be paid subscription only and only on Fight. Well, over the weekend, they issued a press release announcing that NWA Power is no longer going to be part of a paid subscription on Fight. It's going to be moved to YouTube. But in addition to that, they are getting rid of the paid subscriptions entirely. Fight will still offer NWA pay-per-views, but NWA is rid of the subscription service. Anybody that has a subscription service, it'll just expire. I guess at the end of the month, maybe it expired January 1st. I don't know if they offered yearly subscriptions, but the fact is this. I don't want to report this as news, but I tried to get the answer, and I'm getting mixed messages. I was told from somebody that I trust that this was not necessarily NWA's decision. This was Fight basically, you know, telling NWA, look, your numbers suck. Your subscription numbers are extremely low. And Fight is not going to bring every promotion there and do subscription-based weekly content and have, you know, less than five digits in subscribers. So I don't know who ultimately made the call. Somebody told me that NWA just felt, look, we're better off doing YouTube. We get more viewers. Remember what I said? That Billy Corgan, his biggest mistake is telling fans, if you don't like it, don't watch. You don't ever want to alienate anybody with your product. So they're going back to YouTube with Power. So starting next week, you could watch Power again without having to pay for it. This, I think, spells bad news for the Ring of Honor streaming service. Yeah, look, they got a 20-year library. So if people are going to sign up for the subscription Honor Club, you sign up because you want that library whenever you want to access it. But as far as weekly TV goes, look, man, next week is the second week in January. Have you heard about any tapings set for Ring of Honor? You have heard nothing. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting when we get into February and we see where exactly is this regular weekly TV. You now have to hype up for Revolution. So how do you balance that out? Plus, it's been proven that fans today, I don't think, are looking to pay to watch weekly content. Whether it's NWA or Ring of Honor, or look, back in the day with NWA TNA. I don't remember what the buy rates were early on, but I, for some reason, 10,000 sticks in my head right now. And if that's the case, you know, only making 10,000 buys on a weekly basis, you know, you may say, oh, well, that's a pretty decent number today. Well, back then, this was different. It was pay-per-view. This was cable TV. This wasn't like a streaming service, because streaming service is cheaper to produce and to show. You know, you could have a very small indie promotion, and if you got access to some live equipment, you know, you could stream on Fight or somewhere. It doesn't cost anywhere near what it used to be. Plus, back then, you would split the revenue in half. You know, and then you got all the overhead costs. So I don't think people are going to come in droves for that Ring of Honor. And then what happens? Do you not have weekly TV for Ring of Honor because your Honor Club subscriptions are less than 10,000? So it's going to be really interesting to see when this actually launches. In fact, I'll tell you something right now. Remember last week or the week before we did the Guess the Ratings contest? And I think Brandon was the one that won. I think it was Brandon. And he got the AEW video game, the pre-order, and, you know, any platform he wants. Well, I took care of that. I gave him the receipt. It's got it on pre-order when it's released. Check this out. If you have a new site, you want to use it as clickbait, do whatever you want. I'm just the messenger. Friends, if you go to Amazon right now and you click on the AEW Fight Forever video game, do you remember last year when everybody said that it was going to be released the last day of the year? And a lot of people like, why would you do that right after Christmas? Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And remember I said that's just a generic date that they use? Right now, and nobody's talking about it, right now if you go on Amazon, and you go on some other, you know, retail outlets, if you type in the AEW Fight Forever video game, do you know what release date they have listed? December 31st, 2023. Go on that website right now and see for yourself, and let's see how many people out there are going to report that, you know, that there's sites saying that the video game will not be released for another year. Another year. It's just a generic date that they throw out there. So go check it out. I was going to take screenshots and show you tonight, but there was so much going on, and they went overtime tonight. They went a little bit. They went like 3 minutes over Dynamite, so I didn't get a chance to do it. So, all right, NXT yesterday. The match results, we had Carmelo Hayes over Apollo Crews, Axiom over Trick Williams, Dijak beating Channing Stacks Lorenzo, Alba Fire over Isla Dawn in Extreme Resolution match. Yes, I saw the table spot. I didn't think it was that bad. The table started breaking before they fell through it. Shit happens, man. Earl Mensa over Javier Bernal, Drew Gulak over Andre Chase, Kofi Kingston over Joe Gacy. And next week is New Year's Evil. This lineup looks pretty good. For a two-hour NXT on USA Network, we got Bron Breakker defending the NXT Championship against Grayson Waller, Tony D'Angelo versus Dijak. Indus Shear will be in the ring taking on the Creed brothers. Hank Walker versus Charlie Dempsey, the son of William Regal. We have Pretty Deadly versus three other tag teams to be announced. It's going to be a gauntlet match to determine the number one contenders for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Now remember, WrestleMania is still a few months away. A lot of reports are now starting to dictate that the Schism will eventually be the ones to dethrone the New Day for those tag titles. And right now, it's still the same. As of right now, the New Day are set to defend the NXT tag titles WrestleMania weekend and not actually wrestling at WrestleMania, which, you know, it's still a long ways away. So I don't even take that as news. But right now, having the Schism become number one contenders, if that happens, one of two things is going to happen. Either the New Day will not be the tag champs going into WrestleMania weekend, or the Schism are not going to be your tag team champions after WrestleMania. So that's a little bit early, but it'll be interesting to see who gets the next shot against the New Day for the tag titles. Something else is going down next week. We have a 20-woman over-the-top battle royal to determine the next number one contender for Roxanne Perez's NXT championship. The participants are Gigi Dolan, JC Jane, Tatum Paxley, Ivy Nile, Jakara Jackson, Danny Palmer, Valentina Veroz, Cora Jade, Zoe Stark, Kiana James, Electra Lopez, Lash Legend, Amari Miller, Saul Ruka, Wendy Chu, Indy Hartwell, Fallon Henley, Nikita Lyons, Laya Valkyria, and Thea Hale. Yesterday, we were having so much fun with that segment because there were so many people that ended up getting a talking segment. It just would never end. You'd have somebody start talking, and then this person comes out, and then this person. And like, Shawn Michaels, how many fucking microphones you got? There was like 9 microphones at the same time. But little news, little sausage. Little Birdie has told me that WWE wants to start pushing Gigi Dolan as a single star. You know, I know there's been buzz about Chelsea Green leading a new revamped Toxic Attraction. I don't think you replace Mandy Rose. I think Mandy Rose, once she gets her fill with this money and with this, you know, exposure, she'll eventually go back to WWE. It's not going to be right away, but it's going to be really interesting to see. Like I said, I think in 2023, you're going to see one or multiple women leave WWE to go do one of these sites. I really do. You know, as much as you want to get mad at WWE for not allowing Mandy Rose to do this, you got to ask yourself, my God, if she doesn't have to bang up her body and just hang out by the pool and hang out in some negligee and lounge by a fireplace and make $1 million a fucking month. Now, of course, she ain't going to make $1 million in month number two. Even if she, think about this for a minute. Even if she lost half her subscribers. Oh my God, half of her subscribers have unsubscribed. That's still 500,000. Yes, that website takes, I think, 20%. So if she makes 500 G's, they take 100,000. She gets 400,000. Then she's probably got to pay about 160,000 in taxes. I think her home state might be New York. I'm not sure about that, but it might be New York. May not be. But let's say they take 100,000 on taxes. Taking home 300,000 a month, 250 a month, 300,000 a month, not having to travel like you did before. Oof. Even if it only lasts 6 months to a year. I mean, my God, it almost makes me want to like get in shape. And there's got to be some audience out there who would like to see these flabby nipples, you know? I mean, my God, you know, I'm very happy to be a man. You know, I'm very happy to be who I am. After all these years, I'm kind of like brainwashed to accept it. But I kind of envy some of you out there that, you know, have that possibility of just, you know, I'm not saying you have to do anything extreme, whatever you value extreme is. Like I said, you know, just because you bear yourself on a fan site like she does, doesn't make her a bad person. Even when I said the other day about the adult film industry, just because you're an adult film star doesn't make you a bad person. You know, it's a different type of profession. But if she just has to take pictures and lounge, you know, and oil herself up and take the sun, and she makes $200,000-$300,000. Why would you not do that? And I guarantee it's some women that are in wrestling that have the look, that have the bodies. We don't need to name names, but WWE wants to push Gigi Dolan as a single star. Will that happen right now? Probably not. But I would not be surprised that Battle Royal next week if we see a little tease of Gigi Dolan and JC Jane maybe going at it a little bit. Who knows? Maybe one will accidentally or intentionally eliminate the other. But down the line, WWE sees Gigi Dolan as a single star. So keep that in the back of your mind. I'm not saying they're splitting now. And honestly, I like Toxic Attraction as a team. I just wonder if you bring them to the main roster, how far will they actually get? You see the women are on the main roster right now. How far do you get? Even if Gigi Dolan were to get promoted to the main roster right now, how is she going to leapfrog so many women that are there right now? Now you got Charlotte Flair back even more. You know, so even though you want to see someone go to the main roster, sometimes timing is everything. Right now, I don't think timing would work for a lot of the women on that roster, on the NXT roster. So, but all right. So with that said, I think we covered everything we needed to cover. Well, for those that don't know the results from Wrestle Kingdom 17, I will give you the quick results. We had a dark match, which they call an exhibition match. Ryuhei Oiwa and Oleg Bulletin went to a draw, time limit draw. The New Japan Rambo to determine who challenges for the provisional KOPW 2023 championship at New Year's Dash. Great Okan, Shingo Takagi, Sho, and Toriano, they all advanced. There is a bracket online if you want to go check that out. The Antonio Inoki Memorial, six-man tag, Yuji Nagata, Satoshi Kojima, and Toji Makabe. They defeated Tatsumi Fujinami, Minoru Suzuki, and Tiger Mask. For the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles, Catch 2-2, I believe. It's TJP and Francesco Akira. They defeated Leo Rush and Yo. That is not Y-O exclamation point. That is Y-O-H. I'm not very good at speaking Japan, but I think I do a better job now compared to years ago. For the IWGP Women's Championship, Kairi retains over Tam Nakano after the match was over. Mercedes shows up, lays Kairi out, issues the challenge. We'll find out where that match goes down and when. Bishamon, which is Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, they beat FTR to win the IWGP Tag Team Championships. Zack Sabre Jr. over Ren Narita. By the way, the full list of wrestlers who went to Wrestle Kingdom 17, I hope to have them by this weekend, but if not, I'll have them by Monday's show. I don't want to wait till next Wednesday because I don't think it's that big of a deal, but there were quite a few women and men, you know, just in the United States that traveled to New Japan because of the event itself. It's not just about being on the card, but it's also because it's a huge fucking event. So there were numerous wrestlers there. There's some names that are being floated around, but there's no picture proof. I want to get the actual list, and then I'll share it with you. So, all right, for the NEVER Open Weight Championship, Tama Tonga beats Carl Anderson. So he is now the champion. Zack Sabre Jr. over Ren Narita for the inaugural New Japan World TV Championship. Four-way to determine the new junior heavyweight champion. Hiromu Takahashi beat Tairi Ishimori, El Desperado, and Master Wato. So he is the new champion. For the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, Kenny Omega beat Will Ospreay, and he was with the United Empire, but Kenny Omega was still able to overcome the odds. Everybody is talking about that match. Even though I don't like some of the political stuff that goes on behind the scenes with AEW, and yes, they will showcase. I said this on Patreon yesterday. You know, say what you want about the political stuff with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, and even doing this LeBron comeback, you know, complete with NBA music and the hype that they did to make the title win that much more powerful in the record books. Even though that might come off as an ego kick, maybe a more fuck you to CM Punk and the haters out there, you can't deny that Kenny Omega can still perform at an elite level, no pun intended. The Young Bucks can still do it on a top, top level. So these guys, whether you like them or you hate them, you can't deny that they really, really put on the performance when it's necessary. You know, I think that's part of the reason why Kenny Omega is so revered still in Japan. You know, I'm going to watch that match this weekend because everybody's telling me you got to check out that match. So, and Okada beating Jay White to regain the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. So very, very strong card. A lot of championships on the line. I think there was 9 titles on the line. But again, for us American wrestling fans, I speak for United States because I live in the United States. I'm sure it might be the same for you guys in England and other areas. But I know from the vibe and the people I talk to and everybody that I socialize with online, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 17 was overshadowed by Mercedes Vernado making her appearance. She did pretty much what most of us expected her to do. Never thought it was going to be a match. Thought she would just lay out Kyrie, issue the challenge. We've talked about that many times before. She did what she was needed to do. When you look at those match results and you look at the card itself, you know, in Japan, you know, Mercedes is a big deal. But understand, that audience watches New Japan every single week. So when they see Okada, when they see Kenny Omega, they see Will Ospreay, and they see everybody else that was on that card, they're watching them every week. So Sasha Banks, Mercedes, showing up, making the appearance and laying out Kyrie, that's a big deal. But, you know, as far as the everyday viewer in Japan, you know, it's not stop everything and only talk about that. And, you know, for us here in the States, that's all people want to talk about. I don't understand why people just have to go to the extent of clickbaiting and insisting, you know, that this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And, oh, she's going to sign with Impact and she's going to go here. You know, just sit back and enjoy it. You know, whatever happens next week with AEW, whether she appears or she doesn't appear, just enjoy what we're watching on TV. I think the ratings will be a little bit boosted next week because I think some fans believe that she is going to be Saraya still, her tag partner, even though it was announced Toni Storm. But you look at that card for next week, and you look at the storylines, you look leading into February 8th, it's going to be Shida and Toni Storm. Why are you going to just overshadow all of that and throw Mercedes out there? You know, Saraya, it already feels like she's, you know, not really people are paying much attention to her. Now you put Mercedes there. What is the next feud? What's the showcase? Mercedes versus Britt Baker? Then what about Jamie Hayter? What about everybody else? As much as I would not mind Mercedes and AEW, you know, they have a hard time getting one woman's match on Dynamite. One. You throw her out there and you spend that kind of money, you got to fucking put her on TV every single week. What happens with all the other women? You're going to suddenly start doing 2 matches? I don't believe that. Plus, you look at all the women that they bring in Japan. Why would they put all that aside and focus on a former WWE star? She is a tremendous talent, a great personality, good wrestler, eye candy. You know, people absolutely love her look. But in the end, you know, other than a couple of fantasy matches, how does that overall affect everybody who is currently trying to get some type of airtime? You know, what are you going to do, a stare down with Mercedes and Jade Cargill? You know, I could see people reporting right now, oh, Mercedes is going to be the first person to defeat Jade Cargill. You know, fantasizing it is one thing. Like I said, writing words like will, she will be her partner, that's not even being writing it as a rumor anymore, reportedly possible. And I don't like those words. But when you start writing like this, that person is saying, no, no, no. She will. There's no doubt about it. When you use the word will, that's it. You're throwing it all out there. And then you get someone like this. Instead of just letting it play out, they feel they got to like double down and triple down all within 15 minutes. This guy wrote, I just picked him as an example. Nice Christmas hat. This guy wrote 3 different things in 15 minutes time to try to like cover his ass. Oh yeah, we know what Tony Khan's trying to do. Yeah. That's not reporting. That's you're worrying about your cred. That's more about people concerned about their cred. And if she does not appear next week, what the fuck are these people going to say? Oh, her flight was canceled. Oh, New Japan at the last minute, they're being dicks about it. They would not allow it. You know, because they know that Mercedes is not going to go out there and say, you're lying, you're this, you're that. Nobody in New Japan is going to go out there and say, you're a liar. They're not going to do that. People just want to, they feel like, oh, you know, do you remember when, oh, yeah, you remember when, so, and I got news for you. You want to know something? This is not, I'm not making this about me, but I'll say this in closing tonight. You know, when I talk to Misha, Matt Riddle's girlfriend, about everything, she approached me. I didn't approach her. She actually was tuning into the shows way before any of this went down. I had no idea. But what she said to me meant a lot. And she, I said to her, I said, why do you want to come on with me? You know, this other bigger outlets, you know, I'm not making any money off of this. And she said to me, she says, I appreciated, and you know what? I'll just say, he appreciated that I just told it like a regular person. You know, the one thing you all need to realize, majority of you are in the same mindset as me. There's a lot of people out there that don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth about some of the things that are going on. They just want their juices to be titillated, to gossip about it, to clickbait about it. And she said that, you know, when I went out there and I said, look, you know, she's got a, she had COVID, got a stroke, they found a hole in the heart, had heart surgery, 31 years old, and this happened less than 2 years ago. You know, that's not someone I think is going to be doing lines or doing ecstasy. You know, so shit just started to not add up. And then I could say it because I got nothing to lose. But you look at that whack job, Danielle Petrow, his ex-girlfriend. Go on to Twitter right now, make her famous. You know what she did? Let me just tell you. She went out there and she accused Matt Riddle of sexual assault, sexual abuse. If you remember when I came on the show, I said, you know what? With all due respect, a lot of these women, they come off as just being scorned. They thought they were the person that he, she was his only, that they were going to have a big future together. And that's why you had some of these women. He was going to celebrate New Year's with me. And then I see him making out with someone else. Well, that's what happens sometimes with single people. You know, I'm not going to get into the meat and potatoes of the relationships, but here's my point. If someone, if you're dating someone and they are an abuser, you accuse them of sexual assault, and you see that person dating someone else, and you originally warned that person, stay away from him, stay away from him. He committed assault, he committed abuse, but you provide no examples. And then someone else goes out there and says, yeah, he abused me too. He assaulted me also. That's criminal shit. That ruins people's careers. Nobody makes an example of it. They just generalize it. And then you think, well, 20 years ago, that might, oh, this Jersey Shore motherfucker, single guy, he fucking told me he loved me, that I was his only one, but meanwhile he was banging other women behind my back. That's not criminal. You know, and people that have loose relationships, you know, sometimes it's one person doesn't interpret the relationship as the other person does. This person is just looking for company. You know, maybe you go through a bad divorce, you go through a bad breakup, there's a little bit of depression there, and you just want to be around someone, someone that gives you company. Why do you think this place like Tinder and other things exist? And then you meet someone, and then you view it like, oh my God, I might be able to have a future with this person and get married and have kids and all this stuff. And meanwhile, this other person just, they suck my dick, you know? And it comes across that maybe these women were just burned, you know? But that's not abuse or assault. So check this out. If he did the awful things that he did, go on to Twitter right now. She's got a 2 or 3 minute highlight video that she posted a day ago. And if you click on that video, a majority of it is her private iPhone streams of her with Matt Riddle. And they're laughing, kissing. He's grabbing her tits. You know, there's no nudity. But she's got this whole highlight video with music and smiling and laughing. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. If someone's accusing someone of criminal sexual assault and abuse, and you're trying to warn other women out there, why are you putting a 3 minute highlight video of all the happy times? You're putting them out there like, oh, look at all these wonderful things we had. And you know, it's weird. This is, you know what this person is? This person put that video out there to piss off the current girlfriend. That's what that was. If I accuse someone of being a psychotic, whack job, sexual abuser, sexual, you know, committing sexual assault, and then I post a fucking highlight video of every, oh, we went to fucking Great Adventure. Oh, we went bowling. Oh, look, he grabbed my tits. We kissed. We had dinner, drinks. We danced. And you're putting everything like, that's someone who is in just, which, you know, rebound. They can't accept the fact that they were dropped, dumped, you know, rejected. Rejected! It's not funny. I had breakups in my lifetime that made me very, very depressed, you know. And some for some people, you know, they just want to be around someone else. It's just, like I said, there's a lot of weirdness with this shit going on. But my point is, when she said to me, she says, I appreciated that you just put it out there, just like what people would do, like just logic and not trying to do it for hits or clickbait or anything like that. And that's why she felt comfortable. And she knows that, you know, there's a lot that I know what happened and what didn't happen. And I told her, I said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to put anything out there unless you put it out there. And again, little disclaimer, don't forget, I said, don't expect any, you know, extreme revelations next week, because I personally think, out of respect to anybody that I talk to, you know, if he wants to put something out there, let him do it. Not me, not her. There's going to be a couple of things that you'll hear next week that you didn't know before, and some of that will be cleared up. But, you know, if you're expecting me to start getting very, very detailed about certain things, that's not my place to do it. Even though I know what's true and what's not, it's not my place to do it. The only person that should put that out there is him. Period. And I even told her, I said, you know, I don't want you to put anything out there that he might get pissed off about, because maybe that's something that he wants to keep to himself. Maybe that's something, you know, that's why I thought his tweet was so important. You know, mental health is going to be a topic of conversation next week. There's going to be a few things, but, you know, all right, I'm going to get out of here. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Yeah, let me know what you think about the whole Mercedes thing. You know, I'm not saying it just for you to write comments. I read everything. But tell me, you know, do you feel like after what I said, it makes no sense for Mercedes to be the mystery partner or even the announced partner or even, you know, the replacement partner next week with Soraya? To me, it doesn't add up. It never added up. We said for a few weeks it was going to be Toni Storm, because AEW has an entire division with storylines, with people they're trying to push. And you don't just toss that all away because Mercedes Vernado is available. You know, you got to look at the bigger picture here. And with the exception of a couple of fantasy matches, you know, that throws a lot of things in disarray. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what happens next week. And I'm just curious, if she does not appear next week, I got to see what backup plan all these people have that have been clickbaiting everybody for months. For months. So, all right. Much love. I know we went a little bit longer tonight, but obviously the Mercedes situation was a big deal. And I wanted to put that great mood of stuff out there. Look, you don't, you know, base someone based on a stupid remark. I've made my share of saying dumb words in my lifetime. And, you know, you learn, you regret, you grow. But I'm just surprised at the lack of outrage. Really, really confusing to me. But again, I'm not the demographic or the, you know, the group, you know, that group that should be really offended by this. But to me, if it offends you, someone says it in this country, it should offend you when they say it in any country. So, all right, everyone, much love. I am out of here. If you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. And I want to shout out everybody for continuing your support for what I do over here. It is very much appreciated. I see very quickly Theme Parks sent this in a little bit earlier. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. Not many people talk about this. Remember when Goldberg went to New Japan for a cup of coffee? Sure, sure. I think people have gotten so used to WWE not doing business with others that, you know, they almost, like I said, you know, wrestlers going to Japan, you know, yeah, you know, I think Bayley would love to spend time with her best friend, if it's, she's still her best friend, and see her do what she did in New Japan and also take in an event, you know, and others as well. I mean, you know, right now, Sasha Mercedes is not on the WWE contract. I think that changes. I think she'll be back in 2023. Right now, she's getting to tour Japan to fight people that she wants to fight, make crazy money, have an extension of a character, increasing her worth, you know, increasing her brand, expanding her brand. There is life after WWE, you know, but I also believe you don't just, you know, drop all that kicking in the ass and totally give it the Chris Benoit treatment now because she is no longer there. You know, it did, like I said, I just wish people out there would just enjoy what she's doing without having to throw that, oh, you know, or she's no longer Sasha Banks. Do not call her Sasha Banks. You know, she's not WWE anymore. Like, just shut up. You know, it's like, I don't know what that does. It if anything, kind of turns me off on a person even more. I'm like, this is what this attracts? No. And I personally think Mercedes wants everybody to enjoy what she's doing, including WWE. She made all those thank yous, and that was not done to be sarcastic. She truly meant that. So, all right. Thank you, John. And thank you, everyone. I'm out of here. And, oh, yeah, the Q&A mailbag. That'll be posted either tomorrow or Friday. I haven't decided which day yet, but I did get everybody's questions, and I will definitely get into it. And where is, oh, yeah, here it is. All right. Be well, everybody. Much love. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.